the more we're playing, the more we're having fun, the more we're engaged, the more it actually sticks. So that's what I created. And a lot of people ask, you know, Alan, you know, you can't really call it ADD crushing because you're not really cheering ADD. And I say, well, yeah, that's true. But when you think about it, if I were to crush this microphone, it wouldn't make it go away. I'd just be able to fit it in my pocket a lot easier.
Yeah. So
that's where the crusher comes
from. Okay. Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show. Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's invisible. If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like? Wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place. This show has a mission. Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all. Stuff isn't rocket science, people. Hello, and I am super excited to have Alan Brown today with me. He is from Crusher TV, which is his new thing. You may know him from addcrusher.com. And so you're the crusher. You got, like, say hello. Say hello to everybody.
Well, hello, and it's great to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I was so excited because I met Alan at the chat conference just recently in NOLA in New Orleans. And even though I know him online in a social way, social media way, I've never met you in person. So it was really fun to go and to hear you speak.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd heard your TED Talk, so I know you have a TED Talk, but to hear you in person is a lot of fun. And can I share with everybody what you did at your presentation?
Sure. Well, although I don't remember what I did. But
okay. He had obviously done this beautiful presentation, created this talk about reaching the 85% of adults with ADHD who are undiagnosed, which is a huge deal. It's a very passionate aspect of ADHD to me. And so I go to this talk and he is talking and has a slide presentation and says, oh yeah. And at 1 o'clock in the morning last night, I changed everything, which I thought it was very ADD.
Very. I just decided, actually, it wasn't until I woke up in the morning, I said, you know, I don't have to present until 1:30. I think I'll just rewrite this whole thing.
Oh, that's the 1:30. I got it. Okay, I misunderstood. But you just...
Totally right. But, you know, it was just classic, you know, I think I'll just do this. And I ended up locked in my room until, you know, 1:15 p.m. But it all worked out.
It all worked out fabulous. It was an awesome presentation. I loved it.
Thanks for
telling me. So I wanted you to be able to talk about anything you want to talk about. But I also just, for people that don't know you and are listening to the show and they're like, what's all this hype? What's Crusher? Like, can you tell us a little bit about how you developed the whole concept of crushing your ADHD?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll back up just a little bit because, first of all, you came to see a presentation I did at CHAD called Undiagnosed and at Risk, Reaching Out to the 85%, which refers to the fact that there are 9 million adults in the U.S. alone, not including Canada and the rest of the world. And ADHD, by the way, goes around the world. It's not just here in the U.S., but 9 million adults in the U.S., with ADHD, and only 10 to 15% of them actually are aware, like you and I, about our ADHD. And that leaves 85 to 90% out there flopping around like I was, thinking I'm stupid, I just want to do more drugs to shut my brain off, or I want to drink more. And that's what I was doing for many years. I was a drug addict and a drunk and a criminal, actually, for a while. When I finally got diagnosed at the age of 36, I was really excited. And to have sort of an explanation for all these things that I had been doing and the things that I had not been doing, like having a decent trajectory in my career as far as I was concerned, it was a great revelation. The light bulb went off, and it was a very exciting day for me. So I literally ran from my doctor's office on Park Avenue over to Broadway and to the Barnes & Noble bookstores back in the day when they actually had bookstores. And this was, my cell phone was like this. Yeah, how you doing? I'll talk to you later.
I know, the gigantic cell phones that we used to carry around. It's funny now to think about them.
Anyway,
sorry, go ahead.
I found there were a lot of books on childhood ADHD, but there were also a pretty good number of books on adult ADHD. And I got so excited. I did the classic ADHD impulsive, I think I'll buy 5 books. And then I got home and I opened the first book, and then I remembered, I can't read. I'm a terrible reader. And so
I buy 5 books.
I got 5 books here. So anyway, I tried to read them, but my question was, because I did a little research on this, and it turns out that 30% of ADHDers are dyslexic, and the majority of the other 70% have difficulty with comprehension. Now, I'm not dyslexic per se. I flip a few letters here and there, but I just have terrible comprehension. I've been reading the same book for 3 months, and I'm on page 41, and I'm not exaggerating. If I went and got the book for you and brought it to you and see page 41. So I wondered, why hasn't someone created something, multimedia for ADDers, if this is the case? So that's what I did. And I called it ADD Crusher. And it turns out that over the years, even before my diagnosis, I had started to develop these kind of brain hacks that helped my brain work better, even, not knowing that I had ADHD. And there were things like how to stay focused and how to rest my mind to power it up, which is something we actually just talked about last night on Crusher TV. And these brain hacks, once I got diagnosed, it's like, okay, now I get why I was doing these brain hacks. And now I'm going to really start to kind of archive and curate these brain hacks. And that's what I've been doing for about 20 years now. So I created videos that are fun and entertaining, because that's the other thing about ADDs. 80 years. We want to have fun. We need to have fun while we're learning. Otherwise, we just,
Absolutely. Yep.
So the more we're playing, the more we're having fun, the more we're engaged, the more it actually sticks. So that's what I created. And a lot of people ask, Alan, you can't really call it ADD Crusher because you're not really curing ADD. And I say, well, yeah, that's true. But when you think about it, if I were to crush this microphone, it wouldn't make it go away. I'd just be able to fit it in my pocket a lot easier.
Yeah. So
that's where the crusher comes
from. Okay.
Then earlier this year, I was just thinking about how can I reach out to an audience that's broader than just ADHD? Because everyone I talk to feels like, I'm a little ADHD too. Even if they're not saying, well, I've got ADHD too. They're just kind of saying, I experience procrastination and inability to focus and all this stuff. And Dr. Ned Hollowell, whom our audience, I'm sure, will have heard of, he says that half the people that knock on the door of his practice are not actually ADHD. They're not clinically ADHD. They're what he calls ADT, attention deficit trait, meaning they're crazy busy professionals. They are overwhelmed. They're stressed. They're managing too many damn things in their lives. And they're therefore having problems like ADDers do with prioritization, organization, time management, procrastination, etc. So Crusher TV was something that I launched to be able to reach out to a broader audience. I'm not saying goodbye to our ADHD tribe. In fact, the bulk of our members are ADHD tribes people. We know that there are a whole bunch of entrepreneurs and other crazy busy professionals who would love to know the kinds of things that we ADHD, and I'm an ADHD coach and a productivity coach, the kinds of things that we teach to our clients, how to stop procrastinating, how to get a lot of different things done over a course of time, how to stop multitasking, how to prioritize things in a way that at the end of the day, you go, wow, I feel like I actually got something done today.
Yeah.
That's sort of the story from the time of my diagnosis right up until.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So that does take us through up until today. Like that. Okay. One of the things that I'm thinking about when you're talking is about the reality of making it fun, because if it's not fun, it's not engaging. Yeah. And I've, subscribe to your show. I'm watching it and it is fun, but in my work, I'm trying to think of how to get information across to people in a more fun way. And I'm not that fun.
hold on. Yes, you are. I've been with you. And you're kind of about as fun as they get. I think what you might mean is, you know, entertaining in sort of an entertainment.
Yeah.
So whether you could, you know, go put on a show that has humor and skits and all that stuff.
Do you have like an acting background or something that a comedian background, like to get up and do the presentations that you do? I know your personality is outgoing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually, I think it comes from a couple things. One is, you know, as the kid who couldn't, you know, control his impulses, I was the class clown. Mm. So I was always kind of a performer. And another thing is, maybe it is a little bit in my genes too. My father was a newsman, a radio broadcaster. So he was on TV earlier in his career. And so he did the, get out of the headlines.
Beep, 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 beep in the background.
Newcomer run over by welcome wagon. 76 is 49, 49 or 76. I'm ripping off George Carlin right there. Hey, Al Sleet, the hippy dippy weatherman with you. Tonight's forecast, dark. Yeah. Scattered night toward morning. And if any of you younger folks, go on iTunes and get some good
quality. Or YouTube.
Or YouTube. He does a great thing, by the way, on stuff, on clutter.
Yes, I've actually seen it. Yes,
it's brilliant. Just Google George Carlin stuff, and it is so true. It's so true for ADDers and so many of us who just like to keep things. But anyway, mm-hmm. So I sort of get it from both environmental and genetic, I suppose.
And genetics, but yeah.
Sort of to your question more directly is, you know, when you're coaching or when you are imparting information and you're kind of doing this now, it's really just kind of being who you are, you know, and just not trying to be this thing or that thing or that thing. Cause that's when we get tripped up. And, you know, I see so many people and a lot of coaches come to me and say, Alan, you know, I'm thinking about doing videos and can you help me with this? And would you look at my video and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, a lot of folks get on there and they turn on the camera and they just try to be somebody else.
Yes. And that's the thing with my intro. That's how I feel like I'm being somebody else. I'm being a podcast person. I'm like, this isn't Jenny. You know, it's really weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But do yourself a favor and just rewind back to the beginning of this thing that we did even before, you know, when we actually kind of turned on the recording and just look at yourself because you're alive, you are bopping, you are this and that. And so that's you. So stop trying.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I give that advice to everybody. Just be there, be yourself, forget the script. I mean, I do use scripts for a lot of things because I can't do a 30-minute long show memorized. So I have to have a teleprompter. But still, the less you're depending on the written thing and the more you're just like, yeah, I've got blah, blah. That's when your feelings come out. That's when things feel really authentic and genuine. And that's when you really start to get through the camera. Yeah.
So for you, when you're coaching people, do you do one-on-one coaching with people?
I do a little bit of it. It's not a big part of my business, although I've got a few graduates that are kind of done, and I might have a few spots opening up. But I do a very, very simple form of coaching where one thing we do is we use the Crusher videos and we basically coach around those. And we say, okay, so here's strategy one. It's called Way One, which is feed your brain. And there's a curriculum. It's 10 strategies. And the homework is just go watch a 10-minute long video. And then we just coach on that. We talk about that. And then we find barriers and then we break down those barriers. I want to keep it fun. And I want the client to look forward to the next, whether they're watching a video or they're coaching. So I'm just me. I just,
yeah, no. And you're wonderful. And people do respond really positively to you. That's why I was asking about with your coaching. I can see, you know, I have clients who, if they can engage and make things fun for themselves in their daily routine, they fare better.
Yeah.
Than people that feel they are bashing their head against a wall, trying to do something that does not come naturally to them.
Yeah. And you sort of remind me of the idea of gamification. You know, when you make a game out of things and have fun with things. I mean, look, now you've heard the term first world complaints. That's where we sit here, right? And we go, oh man, my phone won't blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, there's somebody who is struggling just to get a glass of non-poisonous water in another part of the world. You know, we have all these first world complaints, but you know, the upshot is, you know, whatever complaints you have, they're all small. So, you know, just whatever issues, don't worry about it. But,
you know, this brings up something else. A lot of people with ADHD have, I mean, I would venture to say everybody, but I'm sure there's an exception somewhere. But the intense emotions.
Yes.
So do you also find that impacts how you do your business? Because you're making very personal connections with people, or you're producing material that will really help someone. And I can only imagine, because I get this, like the feelings are very overwhelming.
We do know that this is one of the characteristics of ADHD, where you have more emotional highs and lows. There's a lot of comorbidity, as they say, or overlap in layman's terms, between ADHD and bipolar and anxiety. Even as someone who's not bipolar or does not suffer from anxiety, I'm classic ADHD. So yeah, my emotions run high and low. And over the course of a day, I'm like, this is fucking awesome, man. And the end of the world is nigh. I'm exaggerating, but you know, so
yeah,
I guess as long as you put guardrails on that and make sure that you're not, you know, going off the edge or being unrealistic. But yeah, that's a really important part of who we are as a tribe. And if you can kind of channel that a little bit.
Do you try to manage that piece for yourself?
Well, I'm definitely always managing emotions with mindfulness, because, you know, we talk about this a lot on Crusher TV, where once we start to get emotional about something, things stop getting done. And we create stress, we create angst, we burn energy. And, you know, I won't get into the whole psychology and physiology of emotion, but suffice to say that when we are not in some degree of awareness and control of our emotions, we're just contributing to the state of overwhelm and the cycle of stress. Because we are not being rational when we're being emotional. And it's not to say that you can't go and be emotional in terms of having feelings and being loving or being excited or being sad or whatever. But as a tribe of people who, you know, clinically we are shown to have more emotional, you know, we see things in black and white. Oh, this is absolutely terrible. You know what, though? I love him. He's great. You know, we see things either in black or white, and that's sort of an emotional component. But in episode 4, we did a thing about de-stressifying. And the concept that we taught was to de-link to be able to de-stressify. And what I did was I held up two pictures of my mother, my deceased mother, identical pictures.
Oh, and yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and I said simply, this is my mother. She died at a very young age after a battle with ovarian cancer. I miss her and da 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 da. This is my mother. She died at a very young age after a battle with ovarian cancer at a time when I was a drug addict. And I was not visiting her at the hospital enough because I would rather be up in Harlem buying drugs than blah, blah, blah. And I tell this, you know, horrible story about the things I was doing. And I can choose which of the mothers I want to remember. Because I can bet you right now, my mother's not up there going, you bum, you're a bum. You come to the hospital, you stay 5 minutes, you got to go get your drugs. I hate you. She's not doing that. This mother might, but she's not really doing it. So right. You can choose which mom you want to remember. And really, it's not about remembering mom. It was more about remembering who I was. And you can affix that to things, but all it does is generate emotion that it's just a bunch of poop and you don't need to be doing it. So yeah, so back to your thing, which is, you know, how do we keep track of our emotion to make sure that we're moving forward? At the same time, so you don't want to be emotionless and not have energy in the things that you do.
No. And people equate being emotional with being successful for some reason. You know, I'm finding people are saying, I can't be successful because I'm too emotional. And so that's a whole story they're telling themselves. But yeah, to get them to see what you just demonstrated, that was a really good demonstration of making choice. It's very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see someone saying that, I can't get too excited about this because, you know, it'll show some weakness or whatever.
Or they just totally get snagged by it and go off down a rabbit hole and not get anything done that they have wanted to do, or not in the way they wanted to do it, you know.
Right. And you do have to guard against that because, you know, just like our emotions can drag us off somewhere, it's a lot like how our fleeting attention span can just drag us off somewhere. We just get this hyper-focused interest on YouTube videos with dwarf goats and macaques.
That is pretty interesting. Let me look that up.
I'll tell you what. Have you seen the dwarf goats?
No, I have not. Oh, actually, are they the ones that jump in the trees?
I've seen a video of some dwarf goats jumping in trees, but I don't. The dwarf goats, they're about this big. I don't know if you can see. Show the table.
They're 2 feet tall.
Yeah. Absolutely, to quote a gay friend of mine, they're adorbsies. And thank you, Darren. You always come up with these great gay words that I can use. Adorbsies.
You sound like Paul Lynn.
Oh.
Now I'm showing my age.
Well, now we're really dating ourselves.
I know.
Also, Hollywood Squares.
Okay, people. You have to go YouTube Paul Lynn and see how old that is.
George Carlin and stuff. But also, don't go YouTube dwarf goats because they're absolutely horrible. Then there's the macaca monkey that this woman owns, and she keeps putting makeup on the macaca monkey, and it's absolutely adorable. And so those are two of my favorite wastes of time that I don't waste any time on, believe me, but I have in the past. And then, I don't know if you heard of this. Have you heard of what do they call them, fainting goats?
More goats.
Oh my God. Okay. So there's this breed of goats that when they get startled, they fall on the ground and fall asleep.
Get out.
Yes. And just Google it. Just don't waste a lot of time there. But yes. And you will see a farmer walking around in a little gated area, and he'll go like, and three goats will just fall down like this. And then they eventually wake up. And there's a scientific evolutionary explanation for
it. And so this is on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I have to put it in the show notes.
Fainting goats.
Fainting put it in goats. The show notes.
Put it in the resources section. All right. So for me, the holy grail, and I haven't found this yet, is to find a video on YouTube of a macaca monkey with makeup on riding a dwarf goat that then faints in the middle of the ride. If I could find that, that's it. I've achieved everything I ever wanted to achieve.
I think someone might have to just create this for you.
I think somebody's probably going to go in like Photoshop or.
Yeah, that would be a really great holiday present to send to Alan, is this macaca monkey on a dwarf goat.
On a fainting dwarf goat.
Dwarf goat.
By the way, I smell screenplay.
Yes, it could be huge.
Yeah.
People go, what's it like to have ADHD? It's like this. Ta-da!
It would be Goat Wars. The fainting is strong with this one. Okay, never mind.
No more. No more goats. Okay, so wait. I did have a question for you because I was telling a friend of mine that I was going to talk to you, and you may have already done this. I don't know. Because although I do subscribe to Crusher TV, and I suggest you guys do too, the big question was, do you have a really great hack or trick when it comes to budgeting? Because we're getting into the holiday. I do a lot of coaching around budgeting and money, impulsive spending, but it's a process. So do you have like a tip for that? Like a hack that you do to...
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a hack. I'll call it a way of thinking. And it's funny that you mentioned this because we just recorded the interview with Rick Green.
I was just talking about him.
Yeah, we just did a Skype yesterday because he can't be on live. So he's going to be on next week's show.
Oh, cool.
The theme of the show is holiday hacks, like happy hack-a-days.
And yeah.
There are some key holiday blunders that we do. One is, getting into these tussles with members of your family or the uncle or the friend of the family, whatever, a political thing or just some argument, whether it's sports, whatever
it is.
And that is an energy drain. And there are emotionally intelligent ways to go and approach that. And we're going to talk about that. Another one is the classic oversubscribe. That's where, in classic ADD fashion, you dream up, I'm going to make this meal for everybody. And it's going to have this, and it's going to have this. And then we're going to have these decorations, and we're going to do blah, blah, blah. And we're going to redo everything like that. And then we're going to blah, 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 blah. Oh, and then I want to have a surprise, blah, blah. And you conjured this amazing mega festivity. And then... 2 days before the event, you're like, holy crap, I am so lost. I am so buried in it. And you end up just doing like chicken McNuggets for everybody or something.
Yes. Thanks for coming. I'm ordering pizza.
and the third classic blunder is the budgetary bust, you know? And I know that there are kind of personal budget / financial experts that have some hacks around budgeting generally. But the approach that I teach is, look, think about what giving really is and stop thinking that you need to go and give in the classic American materialistic way. I will never forget the year that my sister, she was in college. She had no money. And she just gave everyone a picture of herself in a nice, tasteful frame. It was a really nice picture. And I just always think of how smart that was and beautiful that was. Now, I'm not saying that everybody just go, hey, here's a picture of me.
Give the gift of a selfie.
Hey, in fact, yeah, just do a selfie and then just send it off. You don't even have to gift wrap it. But no, and I'm certainly not suggesting that we do that. But just think about what is the nature of gifts, because once we get into the going online and searching for this, that, or the other thing that is going to be the perfect gift for so-and-so, it just begins a spiral into the trap. So while there may be some hacks around budget specifically, make yourself a budget and make a budget for each person or whatever those things are. I'm sure there are a few of those, but my hack or my approach to this is forget the gifting. Gift of yourself. Find something that is simple and beautiful. I learned this, I think, from Deepak Chopra, who was really the first kind of brain hack book that I ever listened to. Again, being a terrible reader. I listened to right before I was diagnosed, I was listening to the 7 secrets of spiritual success. And one of them is it's the 7 laws of spiritual success, I think it is. And one of the laws is the law of giving. And it basically says that wherever you go, whomever you greet, you always bring a gift. But the gift is not, an American style gift. Hey, how you doing? We're here at the door with these big boxes of stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's really, he says, just bring a flower or bring a note, bring a card that just says, hey, it's nice to see you. I mean, think about what a powerful thing that is. Or he says, you don't even have to do that. In fact, he says, you could steal flowers out of their garden. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't say that. That's from the New Jersey. That's the law of giving. What you do is you borrow $20 from somebody and you go, hey, how you doing? Here's that $10 I owe you.
Nice.
No, but he says, you don't even have to bring a flower or note. You just bring a prayer. Now, I know that's not you just bring a prayer. When you meet someone, when you greet someone, you just issue them a prayer.
It's just very beautiful. Absolutely. And I do think people underestimate the power of their presence. And when you can just be there with someone, that is you can't buy it.
Yep.
You can't even wrap it. Yep. You can just, but that's the real sharing of the soul. And that I'm just like going, oh my gosh, that's like so beautiful, Alan.
Yeah. And look, and you and I realize that that doesn't necessarily mean you can then just show up where you've got nieces and nephews where there is a certain expectation, right? You know, that, you know, Aunt Jenny or Uncle Alan's going to show up with something. I totally get that. But I actually
try to explain to a 12-year-old, I'm just here for you right now.
Yeah.
That's my gift to you.
I don't know if you noticed, but I just did a prayer for you. Be grateful.
Oh, all right. This is going to be a little negative, but I just want to put it out there because I feel that strongly about it. The worst gift, in my opinion, and you may disagree, and I say this because this is so politically incorrect, but I hate the gift of giving money in someone else's name to something.
Huh.
That used to happen to me. I used to work for a corporation, and every year at holiday time, I would get a card, and that was and they would say, this is your gift. This is your company gift to you. And I'd open it up and it would say, we have given, you know, $100 in your name to the charity that they chose.
Yeah.
And I say to you, no gift. That is not a gift to me. That is a tax deduction for you.
Yeah.
Wrapped up in a big lie.
That's a George Costanza gift.
Yeah. That's just BS. No one wants that. Okay. My favorite charity back in those days was me. So I was really mad about it. Yeah. Not that it's not a giving to charity is a beautiful thing to do, but it's not for your employer to do or for you to do for someone else. This is, you know, give them the $100 and then let them decide if they want to give it.
Yeah. Or at least give them a choice as to what the charity is.
At the very least, if you have to do that.
The corporation is getting the big tax write-off, not you.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you know, you remind me before about something I used to do. I used to travel to every year for, I don't know, probably 20 years. I traveled to two distinct destinations in the world that I had not been to before. So I've been to 30 some countries. I always would, and I don't have any kids of my own, but I have nieces and nephews. And so what I would do is whenever I went on one of these trips, I would just grab them some little thing. I mean, we're talking $3, but then, and I would just throw them kind of in a bag until Christmas time. And then I would just I wouldn't even give wrap them. I would just take like a shoebox with some newspaper and crumble it up and stuff it in there. And they would have their little gift, whatever it was. And then some of the local currency and coins and put that in there. And they would always get these weird gifts that were either horribly or not gift wrapped at all from Uncle Alan, weird Uncle Alan. I always kind of figured maybe they were like, oh Jesus, the bag of coins from Alan from Botswana or wherever. But you know, it's funny. I just reached out to my one of my nephews because we're going to his and his brother's house for Christmas. I said, hey, you know, I didn't travel this year, so I don't have one of my weird.
Love one of my weird gifts.
I just kind of blew the punchline there, but I said, you know, I'm trying to think of what to get for your older brother. I mean, what is he into these days? And he says, I don't know. The best gifts were the overseas Uncle Al presents. That's what he said right here. This is my nephew, and I don't talk to him that often, but he said, you know, I don't know what you should get my older brother, but because the best gifts that we ever got were the ones where you just sent this weird shit from forever.
So, I love it, yeah.
And so this comes back to our point about
absolutely
budgeting. You know, those things not that I was trying to save money, you know, it's not, I don't have financial issues. But, you know, it wasn't to me about going and trying to find some clever, wow, oh my God, Uncle Ouds, you got me this big, you know, drone with freaking heat-seeking missiles on it. That's by the way, that's not how you get endeared to people either, by going in. And we see parents do this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you have parents that are split up and it's the one parent saying, oh, I'm taking you to Mars, kid. We're going to Mars because daddy's cooler than mommy.
Yes.
When you come and hang out with daddy, we go to Mars. When you're at mommy's, what are you doing? You're hanging around in the basement.
Yeah. Well, the moral here is your mindset is the hack. Your mindset is think about giving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the moment that you get off the material gift thing, again, I'm not saying that all of a sudden you just stop buying toys and stuff, but just put the emphasis on where it's coming from and the fact that you're there for them and all that. And
yeah,
smaller gift. Now you don't have to worry about the fact that at the end of the holidays, you get your credit card bill and you're like, oh my God,
what did I do?
Yeah. Especially for our ADHD tribe.
Yes. Well, I'm not kidding. That was the big, you know, it's the stress right now. Following a budget, making a budget, thinking about money, very stressful, very stressful. So that was wonderful. Thank you for that. And I think I'm going to let you go because I want you to go enjoy your day, but I'm so thrilled you came on.
I'm already enjoying my day having begun it with you. So
yeah, well, yeah. I want people to know how to sign up for Crusher TV.
Sure. I'll give you the quick stick. So Crusher TV is a weekly online TV show where we teach one powerful solution. You know, one of my beefs is that, and I was actually just talking this morning to an entrepreneur who he's in Boston and he's going to be a guest on the show later, but he created a thing called Inventive Labs, which is an entrepreneur startup incubator for people with LDs and ADHD.
How
because
cool.
Because they know how creative these people are. So they bring them in and help them create companies, et cetera. So he's going to be on the show. But I was telling him that, you know, when you come on the show, just be aware that you're not going to be on the show for 45 minutes doing a PowerPoint shtick and 5 bullets per slide and blah, 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 blah. That's like, that has a place, but we're not doing that here. You know, I deliver one powerful solution. Granted, we got 85% evidence-based, hard-hitting coaching stuff, and then 15% humor. Got to have a little fun. And then our guest comes on, and he or she delivers a hack, a brain hack. So this is what we do on the show, but beyond the show, we also have an active Facebook group, and we're actually just about to start a thing called Crusher TV, Crush It Breakthrough Sessions, and that's where we're going to get on Zoom, and we're going to tackle prioritization or time management or accountability or whatever that is, and we're just going to crush the living hell out of it.
It's awesome.
And that'll be an ongoing feature. And then we have a few other things like I do occasional video blogs where we share additional tips. So it's really kind of a membership and a lot of different features. And you can check it out. If you go to crushertv.com, it costs $1 to try it out. $1. It's a pretty, pretty low barrier to entry.
Yes, it is.
Try it. You drive 30. It's $1 to try it for the first month. If you like it.
But it is more than just a show. It's the show, but it's you and it's a community and it's ongoing new innovative ways to think about ADHD but just to think about your life and to think about how you can best move through it. I mean, if you got this Zoom thing coming on with the group, that's awesome.
Yeah.
People love to, you know, be a part of it. So that's part of the package of being on Crusher TV. So go sign up. And thank you, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
I will put the link in the show notes for everybody so they can click and, you know, just go there. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Let me encourage you one last time. Just be sure and check out ADD Crusher videos and tools. They are alternative ADHD solutions recommended by ADHD coaches all over the world, including myself. They help you escape the overwhelm and live to your potential. Get Alan's free book, 5 Things You're Doing Every Day That Make Your ADHD Worse, and use coupon code CANADHD15 to save 15% off any purchase at addcrusher.com. ADHD.com.
That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself, or live with or love someone who does, or both, remember, we're all in this together. And everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.